So, the first thing I've been starting with is just a little bit about your background, where your parents come from, if you knew how they met, or why you were given the name you have.
Am I recording? Yeah.
Yeah, you're recording.
Oh. My name is Theodore Duboclay. I was named after Theodore Roosevelt, who was an adventurer. Mm-hmm. And I just assumed that my parents thought that I would become an adventurer, possibly even president of the United States. Well, half of that did come true. I do consider myself to have had quite a few adventures in my life. And my parents came from the Southern Ward area, Corpus Christi Parish.
Okay.
My mother's Alvin Java Saint, married Joseph Duboclay. My father was a self-made man, as most African Americans had to, coming through the 40s, 50s, and 60s. As I understood, as a younger man in his mid-30s in that area, he was a chauffeur for a well-to-do family from New Orleans who had property here in Slidell. And initially, I'm understanding that that's kind of where my dad's young adult days, he lived in the Slidell area where he married his first wife. And they had two sons, Joseph Duboclay Jr. and Calvin Duboclay. Both deceased.
Okay.
My mother, Olga Jala Saint, met my dad at the Autocrat Club. There was a dance. And they met there and began dating, and they got married. At that time, my dad entered in his own entrepreneurial adventures. And he had a horse and drawn carriage that was the tools for the peddler. Fruit peddling was how he started out. Partly in that business into ownership of Rudy's Tavern, located again in the Seventh Ward. It was just a beer parlor, beer and wine parlor, the hard liquor then. And he parlayed that, sold that to what was eventually known as Joe and Jean's. He then purchased, with the help of my grandfather, Alfred Jala Saint, four lots was now East New Orleans, New Orleans East, off of Crowder, Shell. And he and his friendly associates, who were carpenters, plumbers, electricians, so forth, craftsmen, built the house in the East. And that's where I was born. I was born in Chantilly. I was an active youngster. We were brought up in the Catholic Church. First Communion at 7 at St. Paul the Apostle Catholic Church.
How many brothers and sisters?
Okay. I have Joseph and Oliver had two sons, mm-hmm. Anthony Duvaclair and myself. So I have one brother.
Okay.
I attended Corpus Christi Catholic School. Here comes the adventure. In those days you had to, they requested that you lived in the parish in which you attended school. Mm-hmm. My grandparents and aunts lived in the Corpus Christi area. And my mother worked, was then working now in the Orleans Parish.
So you went to school in the district you didn't live in?
Exactly. And I had no problem spinning the yarn that I lived in that parish. However, my brother, who found it difficult to be deceptive, when they asked him in his, he was in second grade, my second grade year, he was in the fourth, going to the fifth grade. And of course he blurted out our correct address, 240 Flake Street. Oh, that's in New Orleans East, so. From that experience, my mother got scolded because the nuns thought that she was less than above board and also contributing to our deceptiveness. And then, still for the same reasons, she worked in the area and my parents and my relatives, in case of an emergency, were nearby. I went to Belinda C. Jones Public School. Mm-hmm. I spent time at Belinda C. Jones and was very, very wonderful growing up in that area with the people. We are still friends today after some 50-some years, or plus years actually, but we all keep in touch. We all run into each other. It's like if we had seen each other just a day or so before, and everyone from that era, no matter where you lived, associated. No boundaries coming up in New Orleans to the 50s and 60s. So with that said, I went from Vernita C. Jones School, where I began, actually not. I was introduced to the piano at a very young age, at 5. And at that time, Xavier University, their music students, provided you with tutoring services, teaching you piano and what have you, along with the nuns. It was called Xavier Junior School of Music.
Mm-hmm.
And they not only provided us with open windows to the classics, Bach, Beethoven, Tchaikovsky. The university also had a drama, taught drama, and they had a drama club, and every year they would have a performance of a Broadway type performance of Faust was one of them, and the reason why I'm called Faust is because my brother and I were selected as performers, non-speaking, but nonetheless performers in the play of Faust. The piano was interesting to a point because as I grew older, to the sixth grade, I was introduced to music like our locals, like Fats Domino, you know, so Ray Charles, Lloyd Price, these local musicians. And of course, I was interested in playing that type of music, but the nuns at Xavier would have nothing of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of lost interest then in the piano. However, they asked, at Jones, Melina C. Jones School, elementary school, they asked us in the fifth grade if we wanted to play in the band. So I said I would, and I selected the alto saxophone. Now I've taken the alto saxophone from beginnings. I was trained in junior high school at Rivers Fredericks. Miss Butler, who eventually went to, she was the first music teacher at Culver Senior High once it was constructed.
Mm-hmm.
And she created quite a rival band throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
I took that instrument, went to St. Augustine High School. I played in the Marching 100 my freshman year. I did not finish St. Augustine. I finished high school from Walter L. Cohen Senior High School, public school. And I also played in their band. I left there, I graduated in June of 1965, and the fall of 1965 I entered into Southern University, Baton Rouge. I did not join their band, much to my chagrin, but it was not my call. My interest waned at Southern, and I resigned from Southern. The following semester, I enrolled at Southern University in New Orleans, 1966. These were tumultuous times, civil rights movement, the Vietnam War, the war on drugs, which was directly to blacks and what they were calling then hippies. So it wasn't a time one would consider being an academic state of mind. It was more like in a draft deferment state of mind.
Mm-hmm.
However, due to certain protest on my part, I was asked to leave Southern University.
Mm-hmm.
In doing so, I then joined the United States Army.
Mm-hmm.
June 1968. That journey took me through Fort Polk, Louisiana, Fort Benning, Georgia, Fort Jackson, South Carolina. These were training. These were times I was going through training. And my first duty station, as it's called, was Fort Jackson, North Carolina, home of the 82nd Airborne. There, I was utilized as a clerk typist at the John F. Kennedy Center for Psychological Warfare. There, we disseminated pamphlets written both in English and Vietnamese that were being shipped to Vietnam, inviting the citizens of South Vietnam to aid the Americans who were aiding them. That's basically what those propaganda pamphlets were about.
Mm-hmm.
From there, I returned to Fort Polk, Louisiana, spending time there, I became eligible for the, what's called the Levy or Orders of Vietnam, and I received the orders from Vietnam, to go to Vietnam. And fortunately for me, when it was discovered that the job that was requested on the orders was not my job description, so therefore I was sent to Fort Bliss, Texas, in El Paso, Texas. There I ran into an old neighborhood school chum who happened to have been stationed at Fort Bliss, Texas, Robert Couillet. And it was a blessing to have someone that I knew personally, who had been in El Paso for some time, to show me around.
Mm-hmm.
There again, another adventure. We were on the border of Juarez, Mexico, so I had many opportunities to go into Mexico. Of course, having a young mind, I was not there sightseeing. So, therefore, I didn't see as much of it as I should have.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after, I received orders to go to Korea. Traveled from Fort Bliss, Texas to Fort Washington. To Tacoma, Washington. Fort Lewis, Tacoma, Washington. There was, as we approached on the plane, as one of my visions and memories was, we often saw on the beginning of Paramount Pictures a plane, small plane seemingly flying around this huge mountain. And as we approached Fort Lewis, we had to travel around Mount Rainier, and we were in the 747, and the 747 was just like that little plane flying around this huge mountain. This was just awesome, something that today I still, you know, feel thrilled about having witnessed something like so awesome, so powerful, so such a remembrance of what God is about and his greatness. So I left Fort Lewis, flew to 22-hour flight to Korea, stopping once at Osaka, Japan, to refuel. And I arrived in Korea in the summer of 1970. My initial orders were to go to Korea is a peninsula, so I liken it similar to the peninsula of Florida. And you would look at the northern tip of the peninsula, which is up the Pensacola area. That's similar to the 38th parallel, which separates South Korea and North Korea. As you go further down into the peninsula, maybe around where Disney is in Florida, which is near the center, is Seoul, which is the capital of Korea. Further down, between, say, midway between the halfway mark of the peninsula and the southern tip, which is Busan, you have Daegu, which that's my original orders when I go to Daegu as a battalion headquarters. However, since they are still, and as you know today, there's confrontation at the 38th parallel between North and South Korea. It is and has been since the conflict a quarantine area, meaning that you went on restriction after midnight. You're not, this is because these are still the laws that prevail during the conflict. So you consider to be in a war area. I spent, just to speed it up, time there, and those experiences I won't share. They're very political, very hurtful, so I move on from there. I returned back to the United States on the 12th of January, 1971, and 2 weeks later, I enrolled at Southern University, A&M College, University. For the spring semester of 71. As the spring semester of 72 came about, there was a demonstration on campus which escalated into the loss of two lives, brothers Smith and Brown, if I'm not mistaken. Forgive me if I'm speaking their names. But that didn't set well with myself nor my other Vietnam returning veterans. And rather than be involved in a conflict, we resigned from the university. I spent the next 6 months reinstated as a postal, not a carrier. Mm-hmm. And after 6 months, I returned to Southern. I was successful in the next 3 years, completed my Bachelor of Science degree in sociology. I left Southern and returned to New Orleans. Couldn't find a job. Well, I did find a job, I'm sorry. My brother, Anthony, went into the Air Force, spent 8 years in the Air Force, and he was discharged out of the Air Force the same year I was discharged from the Army. He went to Xavier, I went to Southern. He and I both finished in 1975. I in May, he in June. And in August, my dad passed. So it was, in hindsight, that was his mission. Once he had seen his dream come true, that both of his sons completed college, he felt, in my opinion, that his task was done, and he moved on. And I'm very grateful that he was grateful, and we pleased my father, whom, as I said, was a self-made person with less than an eighth grade education. And that catapulted me into the business world. I began working for, at that time, Bill Watson Ford. I'm wild. Wild Bill. His used car manager was Ronnie Lamarck of now Lamarck Ford. Mm-hmm. So I met Ronnie and his brothers, Tommy and Timmy, at Bill Watson. And in hindsight, you know, I could say, well, that family was very successful in that business, and had I rolled their coattails, I probably would have been as successful. Okay, now, to add a side note to that though, Ronnie Lamarck's Lamarck Ford is very successful. However, he was fortunate, but he and his partner, to win the Louisiana Derby with his horse, Risen Star, which elevated his financial status, which made him eligible to create his own business. But of course, he learned from the Bill Watson formula. So that was my first job. Things didn't quite work out as well. That wasn't what I aspired to do. So I said I was gonna leave New Orleans. Some friends that summer, once again in the summer of 76, which was the year of the bicentennial of the United States of America, I hitched a ride from New Orleans to Atlanta with friends who were going to what then was the Budweiser Superfest, similar to what we see at Essence.
Okay.
Now, lineup was awesome. The Spinners. Oh man, that was the group at the time that I was happy to see. But there were Chaka Khan, quite a few artists that's performed at the Budweiser Superfest. After spending the weekend in Atlanta and attending the festival, I took a bus to Washington, D.C., where my mother's second to youngest sister resided. She was already housing two of my first cousins who were employed and working in the area, and she was kind enough to let me come and stay with her, you know, to seek employment. Ha! Employment, really? The summer of 76, the bicentennial celebrations and what have you in Washington, D.C., there was no job hunting for me. Once again, on the 4th of July, when all of the celebration was gearing up for, we participated in watching the fireworks and celebration and what have you. It was quite exciting. Okay, well, time kind of closing in on me now. I mean, that's July. In August, no job. So here it is. We're getting into the fall. I figure with September, it looks like it's about time for me to start looking for a job. Wake up, Maggie. So Maggie woke up. Once again, I used my military credentials as a veteran to enter into the federal government. I took the typing test for clerical and of course passed and was placed on the register. I was called in for an interview as a clerk typist for the United States Department of Education Contracts and Grants Division. Now this Department of Education Contracts and Grants, they at that time, PhDs who had programs that they wanted to implement in the school system had to go through that department to be scrutinized to see whether or not they would be granted a grant. Mm-hmm. That's what charter schools have circumvented today. Mm-hmm. The PhD now goes and he opens up his school on his, whatever his specialty is. And that's why they call that school Einstein, science and what have you, or you go over here and you have this, whatever their program is, they have to go through the government to get into the school system, but with the implementation of charter schools, that's been circumvented.
Right.
So at any rate, I basically was responsible for just typing correspondence between the grant, the grantee and the grantors. So I spent a year, almost 2 years there, and then I decided to return to New Orleans. And at that time, New Orleans had implemented through Total Community Action the CETA job training program. This is around seven, this was, I think the program lasted from 75 to 78, 3 years. Mm-hmm. So I came in on the tail end, but I was employed with them. And then I returned to SUNO in 1981 to work on secondary education certification in social studies, since my background was sociology. I was successful in completing the classwork and in taking the National Teachers Exam, which was, that was just named then. Mm-hmm. I only passed two parts of the four-part process. So I couldn't really get employed, but I did a lot of substitute work there. So I spent three years. Where am I 3 years? Oh, okay. I'm working on a certification.
Right.
Did you turn it back on?
Yes.
Okay. I completed the classwork in 83 and again stumbled on the National Teachers Exam. I began to then work for the state of Louisiana. I took the state exam, clerk, and others. You take the general exam and you qualify on many different levels of different things. Mm-hmm. So first position that I accepted was immunization with the state. That immunization position required me to go to surrounding parishes, checking shot records at schools and clinics, mm-hmm. to see that all the kids in the area's shot records were up to the standard. And if not, they had to call out and get them to come in and get their shots. You know, measles, rubella, general polio vaccines and so forth, things you require for school.
Mm-hmm.
So that job was temporary. I was able to land another position with the state through the same state civil service process as job service specialist, which was working helping the unemployed. By being a veteran, I was assigned to the department that handled veterans only.
Mm-hmm.
So I worked out of the federal building here on Loyola.
Mm-hmm.
That again wound up being temporary due to lack of knowledge on my part as to keep my score active. So once my school fell off and I was no longer eligible for the position, I had to, would have to retest and get back on the, register. However, being privy to all of the jobs that were coming into the city,
mm-hmm.
I saw a position that asked for a counselor at St. Mark Street Academy here on Rampart,
mm-hmm.
which their objective was to help at-risk teens. They provided school for at-risk teens who were either banned from the public school system or were pending court proceedings. Well, I spent 2 years there. I returned, this is in 91 now, I returned to back to SUNO, Southern University of New Orleans, for certification in elementary education. Give up. Successful in the class activities, and in the process passed the another portion. So So now I have three quarters or three portions of a full portion process. Now with the three portions, I'm eligible to work as a temporary teacher, but receiving salary and benefits of a teacher. Just have to renew that certificate each year. So after doing that from 93 to 2004, temporary teaching, I took the specialty area, which that's what I was lacking. And your specialty area, which in my case was elementary education, I took that part of the, which was now the praxis exam, and praise God, passed it. So now I became a certified teacher in 2004, 2005 school year.
Okay.
Of course, that school year was Katrina. So, of course, like everyone else, with flip-flops, shorts, and t-shirt or so, and small change of clothes, my brother and I ventured through a call from my first wife, Easter Duplaclay, inviting my brother and I to come spend the hurricane in Jackson, Mississippi, which we did. Of course, that was an odyssey in itself. We spent, that was the weekend up through the Thursday. We left Jackson and went to Baton Rouge. We didn't go to Baton Rouge. We went to Texas. Went to Houston. I had a friend in Houston that took us in Houston. Because after calling around and finding out where the rest of the family went, they were in Houston. So many people went to Atlanta East. My family went to west to Houston. So there, my brother Anthony set up an apartment and what have you, along with other cousins and my aunt, two aunts. Unfortunately, we lost one of our aunts 2 weeks later after Katrina. So we had a funeral and what have you out there. And then we were chased out of Houston, and I'm sorry, this is before we got the apartments, I forgot. We were chased out of Houston by Rita, which was another week or so after, which shot us back down to Baton Rouge. And so after spending a week in Baton Rouge, I have a cousin who worked at Southern University of Baton Rouge and lived in Baton Rouge. I was able to, when Southern resumed campus activities that Thursday after Rita, I was able to locate my cousin. Fortunately for me and she, one of her apartments was vacant. I fell right into that. My brother went back to Texas. I got a job with the East Baton Rouge Parish, Baton Rouge School District. And I taught the spring semester of 2006. Returned to New Orleans. No, I returned to teach in New Orleans in 2007, but I was commuting from Baton Rouge. Mm. Then I was able to finally find place to stay here in New Orleans. I began teaching in the Recovery School District. And not being satisfied with what I was observing in the Recovery School Districts and what was happening in the charter schools that were invading our area. Mm-hmm. So that the charter schools were, their propaganda was college, and the Recovery School District was getting individuals who weren't college material, but they were not addressing their needs, such as skills and trades and what have you. Mm-hmm. So not being dissatisfied with that, I resigned from them, from the Recovery School District. And I was fortunate enough to be employed at the Bogalusa School District. So I commuted from New Orleans to Bogalusa each day. And fortunate enough for me, at the end of 2012, I was eligible for retirement, and I retired. In my retirement, my special time, I cook part-time work at the Louisiana Superdome and the Smoothie King arena or events. And that brings me up to date today. I didn't speak on my family, my children, or anything personal like that. So right now I'm residing at St. Martin Manor. Today I'm working with Jen on Wisdom of the Elders. That's about where we are.
Okay. Well, let me ask you just one or two questions about Wisdom of the Elders. I've been asking everybody, you know, sort of what made them want to take the class. Would they want to participate in another semester? And any positive or negative feedback that you could give me so that next time around when we do it even better.
Mm-hmm. Well, the interest was the idea of tracing my family tree. Mm-hmm. That was the catch-all for me. Also, the idea of a possible publishing of ideas and experiences also interest me. And I have enjoyed the experience because I have a brighter look on my ancestors and where I came from. And also, I enjoyed meeting the other participants in the program to share in their experiences. Side note, Ms. Josie, when we were talking about this traveling to neighborhoods, mm-hmm. hers to me, the country part of it, mm-hmm. would have been the most interesting experience, because I'm feeling that even till today, you have some of that plantation atmosphere out there. that one could really, you know, visualize, you know, even to today, the, you know, the residuals, I should say, of slavery and plantation life and how that has not as evolved as one would think in those rural areas. So that would have been the trip that I would have been interested in taking. I know what's going on around the city. I've seen that there is something everybody, except for her, but I'm sure she would have enjoyed introducing us to her folks and explaining to her where, when I was a little girl, this is what we did, this is where we went, this is where Mr. Raymond's farm was, and this is the hanging tree.
Yeah, she's got quite a memory.
Exactly. Positive, the lunches were off the chain. We certainly appreciated that. And for me, as I said, I would have we'd have had a little bit more hands-on, whereas we would have been able to type this information out, do the paper, do the picture thing, do the art thing. You know, you touched on it a little, but to actually have that compiled and placed, just like you, we wanted to see. And I saw Ms. Jose had a nice one, you know. But I wanted to see my finished product.
Yeah.
I really did. So that's what I said. This little story that I kind of came up with to introduce each sister and give them a dish. But other than that, I hope we've been helpful to your program. Gain some knowledge that we shared, that you picked up some knowledge from us as well. So
definitely.